Verse 49 is our text verse, and you should have a copy of the lesson, and it's not very lengthy, but it'll take a long time to preach. Amen. Psalm 18 is one of my favorite psalms, and I love what it says in verse 49. It says, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." I will give thanks. That's a determination. That's you making up your mind that you're going to do that. When you talk about offering thanksgiving and praise to God, that's a very conscious decision to do so. And in the flesh, we normally do not desire to please God or worship God, but as the Spirit of God leads us, and we think of all that God is and what he has done, it really stirs our hearts to want to worship and praise him and thank him for his grace and his mercy. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts as we just go through this passage and look at other passages, and Lord, just kind of stating reasons and the benefits of offering thanksgiving and praise to our God. And we appreciate the many, many things that you have done in our lives, the very many avenues you have opened up for us to be able to glorify you. And so, Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight as we prepare really ourselves for a time just sitting aside of being able to offer praise and thanksgiving unto our God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, therefore, will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. We know that David wrote this psalm, Psalm 18, after God had delivered him from his enemies. So Psalm 18 really is a psalm that is a song of victory. We like singing Victory in Jesus, and whenever we sing that song, I often think about Psalm 18 in reference to the fact of the many, many victories that God gives us because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Warren Wiersbe said, "It is easier to sing after the victory. It takes faith to sing during the battle." And sometimes, we're in the battle. You're in the Lord's army. You have trials and difficulties you have to overcome. And sometimes it's hard to sing when you're dealing with the issues of life and the battles in life. But wait a minute, there will be a day when it's all over, and what a time it'll be singing praises unto God in heaven when we get into his presence. And so David really is coming to a conclusion or a reason in his mind and his heart of why he should give thanks or how that he gives thanks. And so notice in our text verse, it says, therefore. Whenever you read the word therefore in the Bible, it always means you need to look back. And David, when he comes to the conclusion of the psalm, he is reminding himself what he started the psalm off in verse 1 of Psalm 18. He says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." And he starts the psalm off that way. And when he comes to the end of the psalm, he says, "Therefore, I will give thanks." And he reminds himself about what God had done in his life. Notice that he's willing to sing praises because it says, "Therefore I give thanks unto the Lord, unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." It's troubling sometimes when people don't seem to want to sing songs of praise unto God. But thanksgiving involves this matter of extolling and lifting up the name of the Lord in song. And Psalm 18 and verse 31, David says, "For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." And so David had something to sing about. he had the opportunity to be able to sing about all that God was doing and all that God had done in giving him victory. And you have to be careful, I think, sometimes we forget that when we sing in church, we're singing to testify of all that God has done and what he has enabled us to accomplish. And we sing those songs not to speak about our own accomplishments, but we sing to rejoice in reference to what God has done and enable us to accomplish in our life. So looking back at God's blessings will always generate a positive spirit to move ahead in the present. You know, oftentimes I get discouraged and I just get fearful sometimes. And I find one of the great ways to get out of that kind of funk that you get in the gray area in your life, foggy area, is I just start thinking about what God did in the past. I just start thinking about how God provided miraculously for me. I just think of places where God delivered me through great oppressive situations in my life or in ministry. And I remember those things that God had done on my behalf, and God got glory for it, and it stirs my heart and gives me a desire to once again just to say, thank you, Lord, for being faithful to me and helping me and strengthening me over and over again. So it gives me a conscious awareness that I will give thanks. And it's easy to gripe and complain about everything, but I'm going to tell you, I really believe the Spirit of God stirs us with a desire to just say, thank you, Lord. And you say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Yes, but you can say, thank you, Lord, because God is still with you. God's going to get you through to the other side. And a Christian can't lose with God. And we say, well, things didn't work out the way I prayed for them. You're still on the winning side. Amen. And so I will give thanks. So here's some things. How many points did I have here? 7 points. Amen. And don't worry, there's no sub points, but I'll make them up as I go along. So I will give thanks in reference to what? Number one is just simply this, sanctification. I never put the verses on here for you, so we wouldn't have to turn from passage to passage. But notice in Psalm 30 and verse 4, it says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. The word holy is an interesting word in the Bible because holiness always speaks in reference to sanctification. Being holy is that you're separated from that which is defiled. Being holy is that I'm separated unto my God, who is absolutely righteous and just in all that he does. And so the psalmist cries out in Psalm 30 and 4, he wanted to sing praises unto God because of the fact that he constantly remembered the holiness of his God. Now listen, be assured of this. Our God is holy. His eyes cannot be fixed on that which is wicked and defiling. God is a God who is gracious to us because of the fact that he delivers us from all that is filthy in this world. And so when I think of what my life was without Christ, how wicked, how defiled it was, that when I think of what God has done in his holiness of setting me free from that filth, I just have to say I'll give thanks to the Lord in reference to sanctification. Not only that, but number two is adoration. You know, if I'm going to give thanks to the Lord, that means I'm going to adore him. Psalm 30 and 12 says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee. Notice he is identifying, giving God the glory, he's not going to be silent in speaking about his love for his God. He adores the Lord. Do you adore the Lord? I remember I was 17. I had a 396 Chevelle Super Sport, 1969. Half of us who weren't even alive when I got that thing, amen? Now, I'll tell you, I adored that car. I'll tell you that. I loved that car. And we lived in back on a mile-long dirt lane. There's nothing worse for a teenage boy with a sports car than to have to drive down a mile-long dirt lane to go somewhere. Because by the time, I don't care how slow you drove, or whatever you wanted, how careful you wanted to be, if there was, it rained, there's mud puddles and the mud gets all over the car. If there's no rain and it's dry, then you got dust all over the car. I literally would stop at the end of the lane with a rag and get out and dust the car off before I went out onto the road. You say, why would you do that? Because that's what stupid teenagers do. They love their cars. And I loved that car. I did. But I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, the love for Christ far outweighs any love or adoration I may have for something that's in this life. And all those things are gone. All those things are corrupt that you hold on to, those things that you adore, those things that you exalt above everything else, those things that you dedicate your whole life to, and because you enjoy it and love it. But wait a minute, what about who God is? I will give thanks because of the fact that now we can glory in his name. We can sing praises unto who he is. I'll give thanks unto him forever and ever. So I want to adore the Lord. The highest focus of my heart as a Christian is my God. It's not anything else. But yet we seem to be able to get drawn away and distracted to other things, and it causes us to forget to say, thank you, Lord. I will thank and praise the Lord. I will give thanks. So there's sanctification in this decision. There's adoration in this decision. Number three, there's corporation. You say, well, that sounds kind of weird. Notice what Psalm 35 and verse 18 says. I will give thee thanks, and here it is, in the great congregation, I will praise thee among much people. Sometimes I think we forget that God wants us to say thanks to him in our worship and praise within the congregation. I'm always amazed when there's special events going on or special times of the year. The people say they love the Lord and they want to worship God and they're thankful for God, but yet they don't come together with the corporate body of Christ. You read in the scriptures, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, the believers were always gathering together at a local place to worship and praise their God. The corporate aspect of our worship and offering thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. God draws us and brings us in together. And so the psalmist said, listen, I'm going to give thanks in the great congregation. And it's great. Tonight, I was talking with Pastor Dawana what we were going to do tonight, and I told him, I said, it's good for God's people just to sing some songs together and not be worried about the time or what's going on, but let's praise the Lord through the music that we sing. And so we take time to offer a praise unto God within the congregation with God's people together. So I will give thanks. Not only that, but number four, I thought about presentation. I will give thanks in the presentation of my God. Psalm 75 and 1 says, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. The presentation of God through the wondrous works of God in a believer's life. How God will bless and how God will move and causes us to give thanks because God is always presenting himself to us. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised to provide for us and to care for us. That's why we can cast all our care on him, for he cares for us. And there is a presentation in the reality of who God is, revealing himself to us, that causes us to say, I will give thanks unto my God. I'm thankful for the things that he reveals to us in his holy word. I'm thankful for the way he reveals himself to us in the way that we live our lives and how he moves on our behalf. Well, number five is this, generations. I will give thanks in the generations. Notice in Psalm 79:13, so we, thy people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praises to all generations. I often wonder about that. How can we show our children that we're going to offer praises unto our God from generation to generation when we don't stay faithful to church and we're not in the congregation, we're not worshiping the Lord together, how can we show forth the next generation the significance and the importance of worshiping and saying thank you to God? And I think sometimes we just forget how much of an influence or effect or impact that we have on the next generation just simply by our resolve to say, wait a minute, we can talk about the saints of God in the past, great preachers, missionaries, great saints of God who walked with God and loved God. But wait a minute, what about our generation? How much do our young people, the next generation, see us declaring the glory of God, speaking of the praises of God? How often do teenagers in the church and young people in the church hear the adults of the church talking about what God revealed to them in the Word of God rather than talking about all this other stuff that goes on in the world? See, if from generation to generation, each generation needs to decide, I will give thanks. So generations. Number six there is exaltation. Psalm 92:1 says, it is good thing, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. See this exaltation. He is the one who is high and lifted up. He is the one who is altogether lovely. He is the one who is to be exalted and worshiped and praised because of the fact of the majesty of everything that he is. And we serve an awesome God, we serve a mighty God, and we need to offer praises unto him based on the fact of his high and loftiness. We don't bring God down to our level. We must allow the Spirit of God to bring us up to where he is. We humble ourselves in his presence, and we worship and we give thanks unto him. We identify the loftiness of his name. His name is high and lifted up. Why? Because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And the glory is that, wait a minute, there is nothing as high and as mighty as our God, and so I'll give thanks. This God who's the creator of all things is interested in my life. Why wouldn't I thank him? Why wouldn't I offer praise unto him? So I think of all exaltation. Then number seven there, I think of salvation. Salvation. Psalm 106 in verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I'm thankful that when you get saved, you're saved forever. I'm glad that Jesus didn't come into the world to offer me temporary life. He came in the world to offer me eternal life. I'm glad the fact that we're secure in Christ, because when he died on the cross, he satisfied the demands of a holy God, provided a way for us to be forgiven of all of our sins, and he delivered us when we called out on his name, depending upon him, believing in him, and literally laying ourselves at the mercy of an adoring God who would be willing to save us through his mercy that's renewed every day, every day, every day, every moment of every day. His mercies are renewed, and he embraces us and gives us eternal life. So I will give thanks because of the salvation that God has given me. If God never gave me anything else in my life, the fact that he saved me is enough for me to say thank you, Lord. Salvation. I like what Harry Ironside said. Great commentator from years gone by. I don't know if you ever read any Harry Ironside's, but I have his commentaries, and I love reading what he has to say. He said this: we would worry less if we praised more. You know, it's always interesting that we always like to talk about our problems, and what happens is we get so consumed about talking about our problems that we forget about the goodness of God in the midst of those problems. So he said, we would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. You know, it's kind of hard to be discontent with your life when you're praising God. It's kind of hard to be dissatisfied with the circumstances in your life when you're saying, thank you, Lord. And so if we would focus more on being thankful and being focused more on being praiseworthy unto our God, I'm going to tell you right now, it changed your whole temperament in how you live your life and how you experience a walk with God. Henry Ward Beecher said this, "Pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows." And you can't be thankful to God when you're puffed up in your own pride. How can you say the Lord has blessed me and strengthened me to overcome this day when you're walking around boasting about what you were able to do this day? See, when you're talking about yourself and your own achievements or whatever, God's not getting any glory. But when we talk about the goodness of our God and we determine, we make that decision, I will give thanks unto my God, then all of a sudden it's kind of hard to be prideful at that moment because we're humbling ourselves in the presence of the Lord. I love what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. He said, "We pray for the big things and forget to give thanks for the ordinary, small, and yet really not small gifts. How can God entrust great things to one who will not thankfully receive from him the little things?" You know, it's amazing. It's like we want some great outburst and great move of God and all the time. And no, what about the little things? What about the fact that he gave you enough strength just to get out of bed today? What about the fact that for this last hour that we've been in here together, God has allowed air to come through your lungs? And you're still sitting here alive. What about the fact that you're going to be able to go home and you're going to be able to gather together on Thanksgiving and sit down with family, have food, plenty of food to eat, plenty of fellowship to have? What about that? God provide. I know what it is not to have any food. I know what it is to be completely alone. I'm thankful for every little moment or thing that God brings into my life. I don't want to thank him for the little things. You know, God, take care of those big things. And if all we do is focus on the big things all the time, then we're not going to be thankful for the way that God is moving. So David said this simply, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." I thought it was interesting that he said that he would give thanks unto the Lord among the heathen. You know, I think many heathen, many unsaved people will come to know Christ as their Savior if the Christian is willing to give thanks to God in front of the unsaved. You know, the sad thing is most of the time, Christians have a tendency to complain about other Christians to the unsaved. I don't know how many times I've been in counseling with people and they, you know, are upset about their marriage or they get upset about the church or whatever, and you talk to them and they were like, "Oh, well, I was talking to my friend, he's not saved, but I was on the job and I was saying this, that, and the other," and I feel like saying, why? Why would you do that? What are you trying to do, bind that person's soul to hell? We have a tendency to complain about everything in front of the heathen, and that's not creating in them a longing or a desire to know the God that you claim you love. And so David said, I'll give thanks. I will give thanks. I'll praise my God. I'll do it among the heathen. Boy, I tell you, this world needs to see some Christians that are stirred up and fired up and excited about their God and about heaven and about the life that we have as a Christian. They need to see something different. And I know it was just recently with my mom. She was in the hospital up in Camden, and of course she was telling them she didn't want any heroic things done. She said she was going to heaven and everything, and the doctors kind of look at you strange sometimes. And I said there one day, we're sitting there, I said, "Hey, we're Christians. We're Christians. We look at life different. No, we don't want to see our loved ones depart. We don't want to see them go to heaven. We want them to keep them with us. We're selfish about that thing. But the reality is, we rejoice that heaven is real and God is real. And when his timing is right, then God can do as he pleases. And we're satisfied with what God's going to say and what God's going to do. I'll give God thanks because I'm thankful that When my mom departs from this life, I know where she's going. Amen. I'll give him thanks. I'll give him thanks. And you stop and you think about different family members that you've seen get saved since you've been saved. You got something to rejoice in. You have something to be thankful for, because God is a gracious God, and he is worthy of our praise. And the heathen need to see that we think different, and we have a hope that is unfounded among them. And we have a God that is always worthy of our exalting and lifting of him. No wonder David said, when he thinks about all these things that God is and what he has done in his life and the victories he enjoyed, he said, I will give thanks. So make sure you take some time on Thanksgiving Day just to give God thanks for all that he is, and who, not just so much of what he's done in your life, but because of who he is. He's our God. He's our Savior. He is the one who abides with us and blesses us. And so let's make sure that we give God thanks. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together tonight. We do truly want to have a grateful heart. Lord, we do want to rejoice in a God who is so personal and so involved in our lives. The relationship that we have is not like anyone else or anything else, because no one ever did care for us like you care for us. And God, we thank you and we praise you. And so, Lord, I pray that you put your blessing on us. Help us to be a witness and a testimony. Help us to show forth some loved one, some friend, what it really means to be saved. And what a wonderful Savior we have. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.